Good morning. Let's turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, or I'm sorry, chapter 3. Let's read from 19 down to about 25. All right, so Daniel chapter 3, 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace has been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He responded and said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "Certainly, O king." And he answered and said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." Amen. Now, we talked a few weeks regarding the first part of Daniel 3. You know, and talked about, you know, even if not. And but this actually, it gets better when you go down even further. And I'm just going to share on this part. And again, you know, kind of our focus will be on freedom. And I'll explain what that really looks like as we talk about this some more. You know, and so Nebuchadnezzar sets up the idol. You guys know, right? These guys don't bow down to it. And so Nebuchadnezzar gets so enraged that he makes the fire 7 times, you know, hotter than normal. And to the point where when he sends the officers, you know, the guards actually die from the flames. But these guys don't die. And they come into the fire, and notice very carefully when you read the text, they go into the fire still bound, but when they're in the fire, they become free. Okay? Now, this gives us a little insight into God and His dealings in our life. Okay? You know, you can put any, as a metaphor, you can put anything in terms of the fire, right? And so you dictate in your own life, you know, what that is. Either, you know, fears of you know, different types, fear of the future, fear of money, you know, fear of never getting married, you know, fear of the, you know, your parents, you know, not being able to take care of them, you know, whatever it may be. And we all have a fire. You know, we all have things in our life that not necessarily that control us, but we have not mastered them yet. You know, and so, you know, and so we just kind of use that as a picture. And sometimes it would seem like, you know, because I remember praying, you know, before, and said, "God, why don't you just take this stuff away?" You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're going through certain things. This is, "God, it's so easy for you just to simply remove whatever obstacle or remove, you know, whatever thing is going on in my life. You know, you can just do it like that, and it's nothing for you. Why don't you do that?" You know, but then you see the biblical pattern is most times, right, God doesn't necessarily remove obstacles or just remove fears or whatnot, because the biblical directive, He says, you are an overcomer. You know, and so it's not, you know, just simply, you know, someone that just removes the obstacles. God, what He does is He gives you strength to overcome whatever is going on. See, removing obstacles is just a temporary thing. You know, you're struggling with something, and just that one time, God just removes it. That's just very temporary. But when you overcome, right, that becomes more of a permanent fixture in your life. And so in this passage here, what happens is these guys go in and you know, and endured for the Lord's sake, went in bound, but when they were in the fire, they became free. You know, and I think that's really good insight for many of us, right? That most times the place that we're going to overcome, right, the place that we're going to really gain victory in our life is not when everything is hunky-dory. right? It's not when everything is smooth, but when there is actually trial and temptation, you know, when there's difficulty and trouble, in those times, I believe that's when God sets us free. You know, those are divine moments in our life. You know, we're you know, in some ways, I mean, there's many different factors, right? One of the factors is that you become so humbled that now you begin to look to God. Whereas before, you look to yourself, you look to your own abilities, maybe you look to your friends or something, but you look everywhere outside except for God. You know, but this is a situation sometimes that happens is that you are so in such a desperate situation that all you can do is look to the Lord, which should have been your first recourse anyway, right? God should have been the one from the beginning. And so sometimes seasons like this bring us to that place where we are humbled by circumstances, you know, and sometimes that's very good, you know, that happens here. And we begin to look to God. And when that happens, you know, Jesus Christ comes into the midst of whatever situation that we're in, and we become free. Right? Whatever is going on, we become free. That's why James, right, he tells us, you know, in James chapter 1, verse 2, says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." What James is talking about, he's talking about salvation, what I talked about on Sunday. He's talking about the fullness of this salvation, that you would be complete, lacking in nothing. The word he uses is perfect. Another word you can use is mature, right? And see, but this happens, right, during seasons of trial. It happens in seasons of trouble. It happens when in seasons of temptation, right? That in those moments, right, either you're humbled or, you know, or whatever the case may be, you begin to look to God and He becomes your sole source. And when that happens, God just does something so beautiful in our lives. And we become overcomers, right? We become people, you know, that become strong, right? And so, you know, one of the prayers that I've developed in my own life, and I hope that you start developing yourself, is that I don't ask God so much anymore to take stuff away. You know, I just say, God, just give me a stronger back, right? So I can hold on to, or I can, you know, carry whatever thing that you're giving me at this season. You know, it's not just about removing things. And you know, and sometimes, you know, we pray those prayers because we're so desperate. But I just pray, Lord, just make me stronger. You know, make me an overcomer. You know, don't make me a manager. I don't want to manage my problems. I don't want to manage, you know, my circumstances. I don't want to manage those things. I want to overcome these things. You know, and we recognize the biblical directive seems to be, right, that it happens in moments of trial and temptation, in moments of suffering, you know, in moments of trouble. You know, and it's in those places, my friends, that you truly become free, right? That God, it's almost as if God builds an opportunity in our life to overcome, but it's exactly in those seasons, right? So let's close our eyes. And if you are going through a season right now of a trial or a temptation, see, now you recognize why James says, be happy, right? Which seems to be the last thing, because James has perspective. He knows what the result is going to be. And so let's go before the Lord today as Hannah leads us in a song of worship. And let's just begin to give ourselves to the Lord, knowing that in the midst of what's going on, Jesus Christ comes and He sets us free in that place. Thank you. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray that there will just be the sense of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the lives, especially over our friends that are struggling or going through different temptations and troubles and difficulties, and you know, that may be in a season of that trial that James talks about. Let's pray that in the midst of it, that we would have God's perspective over the matter, right? That we would see Jesus exalted in that matter, and would see His presence just surrounding all of us as we go through this season. And if you know people, especially that are in your community, maybe in your house church or whatnot, that are going through this season, just lift them up by name before the Lord. Let's pray that you know, first and foremost, that they would be free, and that Jesus Christ would come in the midst of that fire and set them free. Well, let's just pray. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay and for Seymour Road and Kowloon and Robinson Road. Some of the house churches are actually doing their Thanksgiving this week and some next week. But whatever the case, let's pray that just the presence of God and such a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude towards Jesus for what He's done for us and the way He's connected us as house churches as well. So let's pray for the leaders in each of the house churches and ask God to really use them and to empower them for ministry and for just being conduits of the love of God tonight in their respective houses. Lift them up. So our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to come and just minister through this country. Let's pray for our missionaries there. Let's pray for the Chungs. And John actually came back from a ministry trip, and as a result of the retreat, he just saw a lot of power as he was really praying for people. I think it really, really encouraged him, because he doesn't normally move in that power. And so it was definitely, he received something at the retreat. And so let's continue to pray for their ministry, that God would just continue to blast on them. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents as well. They just had their prayer gathering, and God did some really significant things. Pastor Nate shared with some testimonies yesterday with us at our staff meeting. And let's just really continue to pray that the Holy Spirit would teach them how to pray, would really enlist them in the school of the Holy Spirit and really teach them the ways of the Spirit of God and of kingdom warfare. And let's just continue to lift them up. Let's pray for the kids in Chichihar, that Lord would just continue to bless them at the home. and the Spirit of Jesus would just really manifest in all that the kids are doing. Let's pray for our two teams going to China as well. Let's pray for our two-man river team, and God would just bless John and Armanda as they lead this team, and a real significant ministry would happen through them. Let's pray for our Fujian team as well in the end of December as Mary leads from Beijing. Let's ask God to really unite each of the teams together and really make an impact in the places that they go. And so just lift them up. And, you know, yesterday we saw a video about the North Korean refugees. And let's just pray for them as well. And let's pray that the Chinese government would be true to, you know, their constitution and their mandate and you know, and the UN and all the agreements there. And just the way that they treat the refugees is unconscionable. And so let's just really lift up that whole situation as well to God, and that He would really move on behalf of the refugees and upon the government as well. Let's just cover China. Let's lift up a special prayer today. Pastor Nate is speaking at the chapel at International Christian School. And let's pray for God's heart to really manifest as He shares. You know, I've done that chapel before as well. And those kids are dead. Right? And let's really ask God to really do something through our pastor this morning. And lastly, let's pray for our church and our church building and our building fund, and ask God to provide the right place for us. And let's also pray for our Solomon's Porch Limited and all the filings and paperwork and all the legal stuff that needs to get done. There's a lot of work at hand. And so let's just ask God to just come and just really help us as we form our own entity right now. Let's pray for the fundraising that people would give with a cheerful heart, and it would not be a burden to people, but it would just be such a joyous occasion to give to the Lord in this regard, in this cover. Thank you so much, God. We bless you today, Lord. And we thank you that no matter what we go through in our life, God, that you're always there. You said you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, God. And even more so, God, you are our ever-present help in our time of need. Lord, in those moments, God, where we feel down and defeated and desolate and weak, God, it's exactly in those moments, Lord, that your presence comes even stronger. And so, Lord, we pray for our friends, our community, God, that are going through difficulty, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that the presence of Jesus would manifest in such a powerful way, God, that you would set us free, Lord, from whatever binds us, Lord. We thank you, God. Watch over us today, Lord. Help us to give your Son glory in all that we do. We bless you. We love you so much, Jesus. And in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day today. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.